Okay, we are broadcasting this brand new podcast from the farm that Johnny Cash called the center of the universe, and we get to talk today to somebody who knew Johnny Cash personally, and you know him from the Dukes of Hazzard, as well as so many other things. I'm going to talk to him about some projects he probably even thought I forgot about. John Schneider is here with us today.
From the farm that Johnny Cash called the center of the universe, this is the Jack Vail Podcast.
I like Willie, and I like Waylon. You want me to ride, you gotta play some George Jones and Conway Twitty. Just keep it country, cause I'm here, Billy. Like a little bit of hip-hop, give me some man in black.
You can kiss my cash.
This man, you're in the host chair. I can't hardly believe this.
Yeah, because why did y'all do this?
Because he doesn't like my couch.
I wasn't gonna get used
you don't
to
like
that.
The couch.
No,
why?
Because it sucks.
He didn't like my
it's
couch.
It's uncomfortable. It swallows you in. And well, you got somewhere to put your up. Just sit over here. Try that.
I mean, it looks comfortable right there as well.
Well, I looks have to make deceiving. It this way. I'm yeah, I got to.
He said, "What can I do to make the couch better?" I said, "Burn it." Simple.
But that Simple. One's okay. That chair's okay.
Brian, when you were great. In the couch, it all looked right, like it was great. Comfortable. Did you like it?
There you go with that looks like again. Not on that couch. There's no way.
I keep finding footage of Brian sleeping on the couch.
Yes.
It's my hideout.
Yeah. We have, I'm so excited that you're here. I can't even begin to tell you. We have.
I'm just excited to be in this chair.
To be out of the couch. It's a little weird. I'm gonna look at this camera now whenever I'm gonna do something. John Schneider is with us, actor, songwriter, singer, author. Friend of John.
That's important. That's here. That's the most important designation.
Husband of Alicia. Can we talk about her too?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So here we are. I will tell you. Yesterday, I called Matt, and I'm like. Listen, John Schneider's coming. No, go ahead. I want you to tell him what you told me when I said that. Something along the lines of, who's that?
I'm sorry, John. I didn't know who you were before.
But it's okay.
We're getting to meet each other right here, right now, live.
But here's the problem.
Well, that's cool because, you know, earlier today I Googled you. You know what I found? Nothing.
Actually.
No, I apologize. No, I don't know if I can. This is why we got along so well.
Well, nice to meet you, John.
No, it's very nice to meet you. Very nice to meet you.
You know, it's funny.
I'm glad you came out of your coma.
Oh, God.
Because, you know.
Go ahead and finish.
I've done some stuff. Anyway, not just that. You know, that's the thing. People say, oh, they're too young. I said, what, were they born last week? Maybe. Kidding. You know, you have no excuse.
No, for real. So I work with a lot of people who are, you know, in their 20s and stuff. And it's funny because guys
I was
like,
there. I was in my 20s once.
Okay.
Wait. Yeah.
I'm trying to stay on task. I didn't realize you were this funny. So it's.
He still doesn't. He's like, no.
He's like, who is this again?
I don't know.
I have the full go to give it back to John after the comments he's already made. It's going to be a fiery podcast.
Every once in a while there'll be a jab here and there, I'm sure.
I'll be quiet.
No, I'm excited for a lot of obvious reasons, but I'm going to talk to you about some stuff that probably you're not going to expect. And I think that's going to be really
okay,
super
good,
fun.
Good.
Okay,
good.
So I want to talk about, obviously, Bo Duke, Dukes of Hazzard. That has followed you throughout your entire life since the very beginning of your career.
So until right now.
Until right now. No, okay, so that's
yes,
what I was gonna,
true.
That's what I was going to tell you, though, is because I work with young people. In fact, he's about the same age as my son over there, Jake. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So you're 28,
correct? 27.
27. Yeah, okay. You guys are the okay, same age. They are the same age. And mentally, I don't feel like I've gotten any older. I just turned 50, and I'm like...
It's funny, isn't it? Yeah, you don't feel
that's
like
that's what's weird is I'm always asking people, like, do you know who somebody is? And I forget that they're in their 20s, and they might be like, they got to Google it or look it up.
Well, it works the other way around, too. I mean, I have no idea who you know today. Who the most popular person in the world for you today is probably someone I wouldn't recognize if they were sleeping on that very uncomfortable true. Couch.
Could we do a segment of
names? It's true. Yeah, we might do something like that. Yeah, we'll see that. Mac wouldn't know very many people.
I will say I've heard of the show Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, good.
I never watched it, but I've seen the show and I recognize the car. And there was a movie.
There you go.
There was a movie too. So I got
that.
The
movie would have to be better to suck. We can't count that. We can't count the movie.
No, we can't count the movie.
Sorry, Willie, you were awful.
No, the movie.
You were awful.
The movie made everybody so mad. Do you remember when the movie came out, Jake?
Yeah, you were
I was so pissed off about the movie. Awful. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Awful. I didn't even want to see it. And then I did just out of pure curiosity.
Irreverent.
Oh, it was terrible.
Which
it was
Dukes
so,
never was.
It was so bad. And the big thing was I was really waiting to see. I wanted to see who they got for Bo Duke, because that was blonde hair. You want to see this iconic. And oh, I was so disappointed. Everybody was disappointed.
Well, so were they. I went to the premiere of it, and so were Johnny and Sean. They were like, look, we're sorry, because we love the show, and we, you know, it's not our fault.
Yeah.
The first thing they said about the movie. And so it was, that was the fault of Warner Brothers. You know, they didn't understand. Somehow they did not understand the source material. Mm. They certainly didn't understand the fan base at all. The three of us, Tom, Kathy, and I just did a Comic-Con up in Gallatin not long ago, and there's people lined up around the block, and some that are little bitty. There's your age missed it completely, but there are little kids who are watching. They're watching Dukes with their parents or with their grandparents now, like they did when they were kids.
Wow!
So it's really pretty cool. It's a fun show. It's an exciting show. It's funny. It's got cars like no other show did. After it, our stunt guys did Knight Rider, and they did not Fall Guy, but they did can't remember the other Lee Majors show, but they went out and they did those A-Team. They did I Pitted a Fool. Yeah, so they did those shows, and jumping cars became kind of the norm in the late 80s and 90s, but that was because of the Dukes of Hazzard
set that.
Yeah, and it was the same stunt team mostly that did all those other shows as well.
Yeah.
Like one of my stunt doubles on Dukes was the guy that brought Kit out of the back of the 18-wheeler backwards and then took off.
Yeah.
You know, so it's good. And he's also the guy that has done the last five or six Fast and Furious. He's been one of the three. I think they have three stunt coordinators on those movies. But
wow.
Jack Gill is his name. And so it's pretty great. Duke started a lot, broke a lot of barriers, tested a lot of things, and still makes a lot of people happy.
It was on for how many years?
Only seven. It was on 7 years.
Wow.
But if you were to watch it, I think you'd like it. It's really cool.
It's honestly.
I want to watch it now.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's really hard for anybody to, unless you watch a later episode where we started to, what do they call it, jump the shark. You start to impersonate yourself.
Yeah.
If you start there, you probably won't like it. If you start in the beginning, you'll allow it to get there and you'll understand. Like I did a show called Smallville, too. And Smallville, right around season 7, I think, kind of jumped the shark and turned into the Justice League, which is not what Smallville ever was.
Mm-hmm.
Smallville was about the childhood of the boy who would become Superman. And it was wonderful. And then they kind of went off in the tall grass there for a while, and then they reeled it back, and by season 9 and 10, it was wonderful again.
Did you get to know Tom Welling pretty well?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I just saw him a couple weeks ago, too. We did a thing, Fathers and Sons. So Tom and I and Lionel Luther, which is John Glover, and Michael Rosenbaum, who was Lex Luther, was the four of us, and it was a lot of fun.
That's crazy. So you were really, I mean, both of those shows are iconic. So you go to convention, like you'll go to a convention, and will there sometimes be kind of a mismatch, like a mashup of Dukes of Hazzard cast and Smallville cast and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, fan-wise, yeah. So I have some pictures, and I sign, it's got me against the General Lee, and it's got me carrying a bale of hay, you know, on Smallville. And I signed those, because I asked, I said, which are you a fan of? They say both, and I say, okay. And I say, always hold on to Hazzard. Mm-hmm. And then I sign my name, and then Bo Kent.
Yeah.
So they can take that home, and it's pretty fun. That's I did cool. one other show though that was Tyler Perry's show.
Mm-hmm.
8 years of that, the Haves and Have Nots.
Yep.
That was the highest rated show on cable anyway, on Tuesday nights for 8 years.
Yeah.
So it's been a lot of fun. you know, a 7-year show, a 10-year show, and an 8-year show.
So has the music thing kind of been something that's followed you the entire time, or did you, was there a point in time where you moved into music?
I got into music early, before Dukes. I did musical theater and loved it. And then when Dukes happened, I was on CBS Records with Scotty Brothers. But I was young and I had the, you know, the long hair, kind of the Leif Garrett teen idol thing going. So the first music I did then was very, very bubblegum, very pop. But in it, first song that was released of mine was It's Now or Never, which was an Elvis cover. And Elvis had not been dead a decade yet. And it's still the top charting Elvis cover of all time. Got to number 4 in Billboard and R&R.
Wow. So I've got a question about that, because we talked about this yesterday, the other day. Jack's daughter did a cover on a song. When you do a cover, do you get permission from somebody? Like, how does that work? Do you make any money? Are you making any money off that cover?
You never make any money in the music industry anyway. So, no, you don't have to pay for it. I don't think you really have to have permission.
So you can do a cover.
Because it's a song, you can do a cover because you're paying tribute to a
And then it's on Spotify or iTunes, things like that?
The only time I think you'd run into a problem would be if somebody else was wanting to do it at the same time, so you'd have to hold that song. But I'm not sure how it works with covers, although I did, I sold my General Lee supposedly at one point on eBay for like $9 million. And
what do you mean supposedly?
Well, because the guy then claimed he didn't bid, but there were 3 other people bidding. So I had one guy that said he never was involved, that someone got a hold of his account. But there had to be at least one person that was up in the over $1 million or over $5 million that was actually bidding on the car. Anyway, after that happened, I rewrote Cover of the Rolling Stone, and I wrote Cover of the eBay Motor News and sang a duet with Ray Sawyer.
Okay.
So I got a hold of Ray, and we did. Ray Sawyer did Cover of the Rolling Stone, and he was in a band called Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show.
Oh, my gosh, man.
So Sylvia's mother and great, great stuff. So
now watch this. Do you know Dr. Hook?
That's okay. Yeah. No. I wouldn't expect him to know Dr. Hook,
I don't know like half these names.
But I would expect that if you listen to them, that you'd go, oh, this is pretty cool. And same thing with folks that you know that I don't know. I'll give them a listen and see what that sounds like.
Yeah.
But I made the mistake of asking for permission from Shel Silverstein's estate, and they said no. And I'd already cut the song. I already had heard press the DVD or CD, and it was ready to go out. So in that world, I'm more of a ask for forgiveness rather than permission. I don't know what the legalities of it are, but I don't think you have to have permission to do a tribute to a song that you love. Mm-hmm. I don't think. I may be wrong. I don't know. Take your best shot.
So you recorded it, you had it ready to go, and then asked for permission after.
Yeah. I shouldn't have.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, my gosh, it's me and Ray Sawyer who made this song, and Shel Silverstein also wrote A Boy Named Sue.
Yeah.
So so he was very, he was gone. It was his estate.
Yeah.
That said no. So
Brian has The Boy Named Sue, the original guitar, right? That Johnny played on stage.
Wrote the melody at San Quentin with it.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
When he came out, it was a poem.
Right.
Johnny turned to him and said, hey, you got to write the melody. And that's the official melody to this. And I had that guitar.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. I remember that song really well.
So was it difficult for you at all to transition from Dukes of Hazzard to, like, were you typecast for a while? Did you feel like you couldn't get anything else? Or was
you know, no, not really. But that's because I knew that I had to go find work. The mistake a lot of famous people make is that they think they're famous long after they're not. Because a new group of people come up, and there had been several new groups of people that came up since Dukes. Before, your parents probably watched the Dukes of Hazzard, maybe your grandparents. So I always realized I had to find or create the next show.
Yeah, so you're always working.
Well, always working on working, and there's a song right there, huh? Always working on working.
Yeah, yeah.
The people I know who were very famous in the 70s and 80s who have not worked since are because they thought the phone was going to ring.
Mm-hmm.
Phone's not going to ring. Mm-hmm. You got to go out and find it. You got to make it. In my case, I've always wanted to have a studio. Always wanted to. And when I say that, I say a film studio. Because my heart is really in the pictures. I love to put music to the pictures, mm-hmm. but I'm really in love with the pictures. Mm. Composition and storytelling. That's why this place is so great. But yeah. it's all about yeah. telling a story and how God has where does God place the camera in your mind? Where does mm-hmm. God place the microphone in your voice? How are you best equipped to tell this story your way? Hmm. And so my goal was always to have a place to where I could do what I wanted, when I wanted, with whom I wanted.
Yeah.
And I started John Schneider Studios back in 2013 and did a couple of things. But then in 2014, met Alicia, and she had a similar dream. So in our 8 years together, we did, I think it's 9 movies and 14 albums in 8 years.
Wow.
That's a lot. Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah, wow. And I would put anything that we did up against anything anybody else did head to head.
Yeah.
Really would.
Yeah.
So we didn't make a bunch of bad product. We made things that that we were both very, very proud of, and I still am.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this new album I'm very, very excited about. I wish I could never have written it. Mm.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, I'm
speechless.
Clayton knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had found my June. And cancer took her. And I have a great Jim Martin song that Alicia found years ago. Excuse me, it's been a while. Grief is an interesting thing. Just when you think you got a handle on it, it'll come and smack you. They say there's 3 stages of grief, the beginning, the middle, and the rest of your life. But I am happy. I mean, I don't look happy right now, but I am happy, and I am open to happy. So this record, I believe, is going to change a lot of people's lives. It's gonna authenticate their grief. It's gonna make it okay for them to do what I just did, and undoubtedly we'll do it again before we're done. So the album is called "We're Still Us." You know, I believe with all my heart and soul that when I get there, she'll greet me. And Dee Dee, who you saw here, Dee Dee lost her husband 1.5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And the only reason we are together is because we get it. You know, this happens to her over Paul. Mm. She believes with all her heart and soul that when she gets there, Paul will greet her. And I think the four of us will go out and have dinner in the best restaurant in heaven. Or yeah. Alicia and Paul, both being Italians, will make the food. And we'll sit down and have Jesus wine. I mean, I really, you know, I believe it.
Wow.
I believe it. It keeps me going.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about Paul Sorvino?
Yeah. Yeah. Man. So they have Sorvino Vino. And I know, right? And then we have a moonshine. We have John Schneider's Revenuers Reserve. Getting off topic here. Yeah, I'll tell you about
you
that later.
Wait,
that
rev-
I know,
wait,
I know.
What is it called? What's it called?
Revenuers Reserve.
Revenuers?
It's too good for the Revenuers come to bust up the still, and they say, wait a minute. Get the jugs.
Wait, is this a new? Is this just happened?
Brand new, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me about that. How did that start?
I've wanted to do that for decades, and the only people I was ever able to contact were people that had moonshine, but they were just getting licensed, or they were, you know, this kind of a thing, I think, is such a big idea. And everybody I say that to, they look like you just did, like,
moonshine.
Wait a minute. But John Schneider's Revenuers Reserve, it's too good for Revenuers to bust up the still? That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great. We already did a commercial. I shot a commercial at the studio. But so that should be out this year for, might even be out, available to order online for Thanksgiving. It'll certainly be out. You can certainly get some by Christmas. There's
no kidding.
There's Everclear, there's Apple Pie, and then there's Blackberry. And then next year we're putting out, this is the greatest thing in the world, nobody's done this, is Pecan Pie. Why does Apple Pie get the
Pecan
spotlight?
Pie?
Pecan Pie Moonshine. And it's great, great stuff. So back to the record. The new record is called We're Still Us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There are songs on it like Somewhere Down the Road, which is, you know, somewhere, I don't know when, but Somewhere Down the Road, we're going to do all this again. We're going to see each other again.
Yeah, yeah. Does every song correlate to...
Every song has a lot to do with what I've been going through, what people who are grieving go through. And in my world, it's particularly grieving the loss of a spouse. I don't know what my mother passed away, but she was 85. You know, there's a reasonable expectation that your parents, you know, as you get older, you're going to lose your parents.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, there's no reasonable expectation for Alicia's parents to have thought they would ever lose her.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that feels like. Dee Dee and I actually have a podcast that we put a worm on a hook and did a little test, and it's called The Morning Show, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G.
Oh, wow. Good idea.
So we want to talk to people about that.
Mm.
Because most people are afraid to talk about it. Or most people are afraid if they do, they'll do what I just did, and I'm not afraid of that.
Yeah.
Say, look, if I didn't cry, my ears would water. It hurts. Mm. It hurts so bad.
Mm. Yeah, well...
But you can get stronger to carry it, but, you know, it's like going to the gym. The plates don't get lighter.
Yeah.
You get more able to carry them.
Yeah, right.
Yep. So there's songs like that song, Why Did You Leave Me Here? Song to... it's a song to God. It sounds like an angry song when it starts, but I'm pretty tricky.
Yeah.
So it's not. It's a song about, okay, you left me here, so why? You know, what am I supposed to do? Mm. Tell me.
What was your what's been your journey on as far as faith? Like, I read something about Johnny Cash actually being responsible.
They say
for
John brought me to Christ, but I had met Jesus at a little brown church in the valley in
Studio City.
In Studio City,
get out of here,
Coldwater and Moore Park. Yep,
dude. Let me just say,
okay,
I moved to. When I was a kid, I was pursuing acting. I moved to Studio City, shared an apartment with a roommate. And almost every night, it was open 24 hours. Yeah. And almost every night, I would find myself wandering in. I'd sit there by myself. Every once in a while, there'd be somebody else sitting somewhere. And had some encounters with the Lord there.
Yep. That's where I met Jesus.
Wow. Then, Little Brown Church in the Valley.
Yeah.
Can't believe
and
it.
And I got married there once.
You did?
I did. Oh, wow. Not to Alicia, to the prior... Anyway,
okay.
I'm not going to go there.
Okay. Fair enough.
Wait, and where is Studio City?
Southern California.
San Fernando Valley.
Yes.
Okay. Right near North Hollywood. Mm-hmm.
Coldwater Canyon.
Coldwater Canyon and Moore Park.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Dude, that's crazy.
that's where I lived when I first did Duke's. There's an old building there now, which I watched them build. It's where I used to buy my Christmas tree.
No kidding.
Tree lot there, but yeah, that's...
I lived on Moore Park.
You know, the lament of old people. Wow. But I forget the question.
Faith.
Yeah,
faith. So I met Jesus there. I saw an event. I won't go into it. It was wonderful. But then as soon as that happened, I wasn't doing Dukes. I think the music was taking off. Something was happening where people wanted to be my friend. And then all of a sudden, all these Christians with wearing powder blue sweaters and wanting to be nicer than Christ were surrounding me. Right? Oh, how are you? Oh, I'm so blessed, brother. No, you can't pay your rent. Who are you telling me you're blessed? You're not blessed.
Yeah.
You are miserable. Tell me if you're miserable. You know who I'm talking to. Mm. You do. You do. Those people will make you question your faith in Christ more than anything.
Mm.
They think they're doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. They're not. Because I'm a guy. I will dig a post hole. I'll try to fix a car. It usually won't ever run again. But I started to think that in order to be a believer in Christ, you had to check your testicles at the door.
Wow. Yeah, I get it.
You know, and yeah. and you know that Hollywood, not everybody. There was some great groups that Hollywood Press I went to. There was some wonderful groups, but the exception to the rule was somebody who was real. Then I did Stagecoach, and John and I hit it off so well. Right off the bat, hit it off really, really well. Mm. So John did not lead me to Christ. John reminded me of who Christ was.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So wow. In Johnny Cash, I saw somebody who was every bit a Christian, every bit a believer, and yet still every bit a flawed, scarred, problematic man who never denied it.
You remind me of that kind of a person. I've seen a lot of your YouTube videos and stuff like that. And I like that whenever you would make a video on YouTube showing something, whether it's a car, whatever it is on your property or whatever, you'd come across that way. You seem like a very real person.
You got to be. Yeah, I guess you don't have to be real. But I believe that when you try to fabricate something, you know, you're lying. You're lying to an audience. And what do they say about lies? You have to remember a lie. You don't have to remember the truth. Mm-hmm. You just keep mm-hmm. telling it. Mm-hmm. And then the truth will change as you mature, as your life situation changes. My world perspective is so different right now than it was a year ago because of this, what I've been through. Mm-hmm. And it's changed me, and it's changed me for the better so that when I get there, I'll be worthy of that hug. Mm-hmm. But I laugh. I tell people, I say, Jesus, you know, you made me. You made me. You never would have showed me Old Yeller if I wasn't this guy, right? So forgive me when I get there. If you are there to meet me, like they all say, glowing in robes and all of that, forgive me when I kind of pull the robes aside to say, I love you, but where's Alicia? Oh, man. Your turn.
She was your smile.
Yeah.
You always said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I have to tell you, I have since, God has since given me my laughter back.
Mm.
And it's very important. Very important. So, and it's here's another song. I'll make this up right here. It's almost too God to be true. Mm. Because I have nothing in common with someone who did not lose their spouse, who did not lose a spouse that they love more than anything. She did. And she's the exact opposite of me. She refused to cry. She could not cry. She would not cry. So I've made it okay for her to cry. And she's made it okay for me to laugh.
Wow.
If anybody can find anything wrong with that, go for it.
Yeah.
Try. Because, you know, you get people on both sides. You get people who love you on both sides that say, man, you got to get over this. 5 minutes after, you got someone who loves you saying, it's too soon.
Hmm.
I can't grieve your way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what the album is about, too. I can't grieve your way. You can't grieve my way. Thinking you have any control over grief is like thinking you have any control over the tide. You can't do it.
Hmm.
You cannot do it. But don't not cry. God made us able to cry for a reason. It's cleansing. It's healing. Mm-hmm. It's sharing.
Yeah. Yeah.
We cry. we cry when we're joyful. Some of these tears are tears of joy. It's hard to tell, but some of these tears are tears of joy. Because I never thought I'd laugh again. Never thought I'd want to.
Hmm.
Which is a big designation. I'm working on a song called "I Want to Get My Want to Back." I want to want to again. People say want to what? I said want to anything. You know, I love life. And, but I got hit hard, but here I am.
Yeah.
And who's behind me?
Yeah.
There's no way we weren't going to change seats. He did that. I didn't do that. You didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Alicia and I would say all the time, we'd come into a place and we'd know that it was okay. We'd know that something was going to go well because either John would be singing to us, because she worked on The Apostle, the movie The Apostle.
Who did?
My wife, Alicia, did.
Really?
As hair and makeup, yep.
Okay.
Or there'd be a picture. Hmm. And a hostess would sit us down right in front of a picture of Johnny Cash. We go, well, of course. Of course this is where we're sitting. So, of course, yeah. This is where we're doing this, and this is where I wound up sitting.
Right.
With a woman who makes it okay for me to laugh.
Wow. Wow.
So, if you think God's not paying attention, you're wrong.
Oh, yeah, he is, for sure.
Yep. You and your powdered blue sweatshirt are wrong. Sweater, sorry. But at the gym, it was a sweatshirt, right?
Yeah.
Right, right.
Gosh,
I'm just blessed to be here working out. I'm not. This hurts like hell.
We've got Benny Hinn's coming next week. I'm going to sit down with it. No, I'm just playing.
I'm believing you. I'm believing you. So the album's called We're Still Us. It'll bless,
We're Still Us.
You. It will help you through what you're going through. It'll authenticate what you're going through There seems to be healing in knowing other people hurt, that you're not alone. And you're not. Yeah. You're not alone.
Yeah.
It's good that you feel like your relationship was the single greatest relationship in the history of relationships. That's how you should feel.
Mm-hmm.
If you can just cavalierly get over the loss of a spouse, then there was an issue.
Mm.
Nobody is that strong.
Yeah. Yeah, you always made it so evident how you felt about Alicia, too. Mm-hmm. So people knew. Yeah.
True. Yeah, true. When I played here, yeah, always.
Mm-hmm.
She was always under the exit sign, mm-hmm. rocking out.
Mm-hmm.
Just rocking out and having a great time. And yeah, she still is.
Yeah.
Can we make this natural? Yeah, I know.
Yeah, please. Let's get
too
some
late
coffee.
To make it any other way.
I know. He comes in to ask there we while go. He's doing it. I love it. John, I have a question. So,
yes.
Obviously, a lot of people don't like talking about grief, sadness. It sucks. You know, it's really hard to deal with.
Thank you.
And it's a struggle. I think death, especially, I talk to my brother, one of my brothers, about it all the time. It's something that people just don't want to talk about. They don't want to deal with. You know, don't ever want to think about. For you, after that loss, like, obviously, that's a horrible feeling. What did you go through? Were you angry at God? Like, were
I was
you...
never angry at God. No, because Alicia was sick. Alicia had cancer. And I watched the strongest person I've ever... I watched the strongest person I've ever seen get weaker. And... So by the time she was ready to go, she was ready to go. And I remember I was going to write a song. I didn't do it. Maybe I'll write it some other time. But somebody wrote an article about it. The last thing I said to her was a lie. And it was. Because I said, you know, it's okay. If you need to go home, you go. It's fine. That's true. But then I said, don't worry about me. I'll be okay.
Mm.
Lie.
Mm.
Lie from the pit of heaven. Had to say that. But never mad at God. Thankful to God for, because he answered every prayer we had. We wanted her healthy. We wanted her pain to go away. We wanted her back to be straight. We wanted her... to be the kick-ass woman she always was. And she is, just not here. She's better than she ever was here. And I'll see that one day.
And you just had unwavering faith. Because I find
it strengthened my faith, actually.
Really? That's,
and but prior, because, like, look, I'm faulty of it. There's times where I haven't been through anything like that, but I've had struggles throughout my life. And it's like, sometimes I'm not going to lie out. I'll be like, God, why? You know, like, I'm like frustrated. I'm mad. Obviously I believe and I'm thankful and I know there's a plan and, you know, the reasoning for it. But
once you reason it all out, you get all that. Yeah, but at first, there's a song called Why Did You Leave Me Here? You had to know I'd break. Why did you give me hope just to take it all away? Why did you let me dream knowing I'd wake up. I can't find a reason why you'd hurt me this much. Why did you leave me here? That's that song.
And you believe it's for a reason of, like, you trust in the process, like, in the plan that it's meant to be that way? Like, you understand that and you...
Well, I'm more of a... I'm not a fatalist in that it... Because when I follow the math of that, then I think, well, Alicia's life and Alicia's pain was to somehow formulate me. Well, I'm not that damn important. I'm no more important than she is, than she was. People say, well, God's not done with you yet. I said, well, was he done with Alicia? God is in the, how should I say this, John? God is in the turning chicken poop into chicken salad. So I think God cleans up our mess. You know, cancer happens, happenstance in many regards, but there is some mistakes that we make that make us more susceptible to it, to any ailment. So God didn't give her cancer so he could take her away from me and the rest of the world. God took her cancer and cured it by bringing her home. And the time, and this is why it made my faith stronger, is that now, one of the first thoughts I had was, God, it better all be true, or I'm going to be pissed. So, and if it's not true and I'm pissed, who cares, right? God won't be there to take offense. But now, that's what I live for, that all being true. I look for more reasons to believe all that because I believe with all my heart and soul that's where I'm going. That's where you're going. That's where Dee Dee's going. And I believe with all my heart and soul that those we love the most, who loved us the most, Johnny is going to be a foot behind Alicia. Because I love that man. And he loved me. We were brothers. We were truly, we had that thing, which I've had now a couple times in my life, where you meet somebody and it's like, oh, there you are.
Wow.
And I had that with him.
Mm-hmm.
Had that with Alicia. And I'm going to say it. She's not here to hear it, but I had that with Dee Dee. Had that with Dee Dee.
How did you and Johnny become friends?
We met on Stagecoach. We were doing a movie for CBS, and he was the marshal, and I was the Stagecoach driver, and we sat up on that Stagecoach for 3 weeks or so, and with Waylon and Willie and Christofferson and a couple other folks in the belly of the Stagecoach while we were up there just having fun. Wow. It was a great scene you can watch on YouTube about John and I discussing what an ovary is. What else are you going to talk about on a Stagecoach? So we're like, what's an ovary? It's great. So it's a really good movie, and that's where we met. And I was coming back to town to do a new album, and he said, well, where are you going to stay? And I said, I'll rent a place, or I'll stay at the Spence. I'll be somewhere near, I think the Spence might have been empty at that point. But he said, oh, don't be silly. Come live with us. We got a big house, and nobody's in it.
Was that in Hendersonville?
Yeah. So it was just John June and John Carter.
Mm.
So... stayed there in the big blue room for a while, and then I moved across the street to where I think John's house is now, John Carter's house and studio is now.
Mm.
But we were great friends immediately. We were old friends immediately. That's a very cool thing. So, and I'm not sure where that fits in Scripture, but I do believe your soul knows when it's reunited with itself. And we were... Mm. We cut from the same cloth, I'd say. And Alicia and I were absolutely cut from the same cloth. And Dee Dee and I are cut from the same cloth. So that must mean Paul and I. You know, funny thing about that is I'm convinced, because Alicia used to run Robert Evans' company, a little sidebar here, but he ran Paramount. He produced Chinatown and Rosemary's Baby and The Godfather and Cotton Club and Harold and Maude and all kinds of stuff. So he was he was a very powerful guy, and she ran his company. So Paul Sorvino was in Goodfellas and was absolutely knew Robert Evans. So
yeah.
If he knew Robert Evans, he knew Alicia. So Paul and there they are. So Paul and Alicia knew each other before I knew Alicia, or before Dee Dee knew Paul.
Really?
Yeah, this, without question.
Wow.
So we get this picture of, and like I said, they're Italians. So we get this picture of they're up in heaven, and Alicia's still trying to convince Paul that hard-boiled eggs have anything to do with a red spaghetti gravy, like they call it in Louisiana.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So so I know it's going to be a great meal when we get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gonna be wonderful. I have no doubt that Alicia, Paul, and God put Dee Dee and I in the same spot at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because nobody else would get it. They'd try, but you know, I'd have to sneak off and cry. Oh, there's a song. I'd have to sneak off and cry, but yeah. Not with her. I don't have to sneak off and cry. I can do it.
Yeah.
Like I said, or my ears would water.
Yeah. You've always kind of been, you've been pretty open about, pretty upfront about your faith. I know you've been pretty open about politics and things that are important to you. Has that been challenging? It must have been at some point challenging for you to.
Yeah, but I've just never cared. I really have never. Dee Dee laughs. One of the first things I said to her, because she started to get uppity with me, and I said, look, I'm from New York. That stuff just doesn't work.
Uh-huh. You're from New York?
I'm from New York.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, I think that's why I just never much cared about what people thought. But I also don't hold their beliefs against them. I never have. Mm. So I expect the same in return. You know, if I'm going to say what I think is the truth. And Alicia would always say there's three truths. There's your truth, my truth, and the truth.
The truth, yeah.
Yeah. So I've just always been that way. I mean, since before Dukes. I started doing theater when I was 8. So you learn pretty quickly that you've got to earn your spot, and then you've got to keep it.
Yeah.
You don't do that by lying or acquiescing to something you don't believe in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, people will always gravitate toward the person who's willing to die for what they believe in. And that's always been me. Just always has. That's why we got along so well.
Mm. What's your favorite occupation, acting or singing?
Gosh, I hate to be cliche and say whichever one I'm doing at the time, but it's hard to beat being on stage and singing a song.
Really?
Yeah, it really is. But it's also hard to beat directing other actors in a screenplay that you wrote.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just telling the story. Telling the story. The story is my favorite. I don't much care how it gets out there, what format it's in.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, a DVD and a CD look an awful lot alike, so they're pretty similar.
That's true.
Yeah. And now they don't even look, you know, whatever it is people listen to music on now.
Yeah.
Same thing they watch movies on now. You know, true. None of that exists anymore.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite?
I love watching people listen to a song, or I love watching people watch a movie.
Yeah.
If you can make somebody laugh, if you can make somebody cry, or if you can be part of an experience that causes them to laugh or causes them to cry, then you've really done something. I haven't done something to you, but I've made it more possible for God to use this machine that he built called you to properly laugh and to properly cry and to properly care.
Mm.
And yeah, there's room for anger in there too. You know, there's righteous indignation.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have closed all that down.
Yeah.
They're all just looking in their phone or they're looking on their tablet.
And I know.
They're not looking at each other.
Yep.
And that can't be good.
Mm-mm.
You know, I put something on YouTube a couple of years ago and I said, who profits from our division? If it's not you and it's not me, then it's somebody we don't give a rat's ass about.
Yeah.
So why are they making all the money?
mm-hmm.
while we're over here arguing. Somebody's stupid. Let's yeah. fix this.
No, you know, it's funny. It's funny you're talking about this because I've noticed that you've taken like control over your own stuff. Like you yeah. release everything yourself, like John Schneider.
JohnSchneiderStudios.com. And remember, that was the goal when I was a little kid, to have a studio, mm-hmm. have a movie studio, and because they did it on the Little Rascals, you know.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
put on their old, they had a barn, and they put on a show, and they charged for tickets, or they did pay as you exit.
That's right, yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
what did Carmen do?
Yeah.
Pay as you exit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did God give him that, or did he watch the Little Rascals? Yeah, maybe, true, both, yeah. maybe both, yeah. but I remember pay as you exit.
Did you know him personally?
Yeah, yeah, not you, a lot, but I, okay, but I knew him, and I knew Bowen. I knew Jimmy Bowen very well.
Dude, that's so incredible. Yeah. I can't even, it was so weird for me because like we're working on this movie and I got to know Carmen. I knew Carmen for about 8 months of his life before he passed away. And when he passed away, it was so unexpected. I grew really fond of him. We spent a lot of time together. And putting this thing together, he didn't know at the time if Jimmy was still alive even. In fact, he remembered Jimmy Bowen got throat cancer and in like...
You can't kill Jimmy Bowen.
No, apparently not.
When it's all said and done, there's going to be three people left on this planet and they're going to be pissed because it's all guys.
Yeah.
Right? It's going to be Jimmy Bowen. It's going to be Willie Nelson. And it's going to be Keith Richards. That's it.
Dude, he was...
That's it. And they're going to go, yeah. Where are the women? I said, well... I guess we didn't raise him right. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I cut off your whole story.
No, it's okay.
Bowen.
No, it's fine. It was kind of cool because it wasn't until after Carmen passed away that we found out that he was still alive. Got a hold of him through his wife, Ginger. And he's
Ginger number two.
Yes. Yeah. And she's, yeah. And they're, you know, living over in Colorado. And I got a call from Jimmy, and he had turned down like a bunch of interviews for like almost a decade. Like I didn't want to talk to anybody anymore. Everybody wanted to talk about the same stuff, you know,
playing golf.
Yeah. It's all he's been doing. Just playing golf this whole time. And, but he heard that I wanted to talk about Carmen and he's like, yeah. So he called me and said to come out and set up cameras and talk to him about Carmen. Carmen was somebody he wanted to talk about.
That's great.
And, said he really impacted him.
Pay as you exit.
Yeah, that's true.
I guarantee you, he did not think that was a good idea.
No, he didn't. In fact, you know what Jimmy told me? He told me sitting at his dining table, he goes, I wasn't convinced that Carmen should be doing this. And we got on a jet, went that night to go see this big show. I was trying to learn about who he was. And I didn't understand the concept of what he was doing until I'm sitting there in this arena with tens of thousands of people. And I turn and realize people are passing trash cans around the whole place. And money is just being poured into these trash yeah. cans. And he goes, that's when it clicked with me.
Yeah. Oh,
he's going to do better than these guys doing tickets.
Sure.
No wonder so many people are, because they're giving
from
their heart.
I think you two tried it later. I think Carmen inspired you two to try it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so. Somebody else, and then they tried to pretend it was, you know, their idea. No.
Yeah, it's been going on.
I know who did that. I know who started that whole thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
The Little Rascals. Right. Oh, I know who started that.
Wait, so pay as you exit was...
No ticket.
Means no ticket.
You get in for free, and you gave a love offer.
If you enjoyed it, if you paid what you thought it was worth on the way out.
Yeah.
And it was, were they making more money?
Much more.
Yeah, yeah.
So why aren't they doing that?
Most of the time, yes.
Because you know nowadays they say that you can go to San Francisco and steal $1,400 worth of stuff and not have to go to jail.
Exactly.
It's an entirely different world now. Yeah. I do believe that if you did that in the Christian world, you'd still do well, but there'd be people outside wanting to rob you of it.
Yeah,
it's just
yeah.
But the theory there was that anybody who cheats that system and doesn't pay will be more than made up for by someone who gave double or triple what they would have paid for a ticket.
Yeah.
I like that concept. I mean, it can't be done today because I was thinking about the fact you're going to pay with cash, you're going to Venmo, PayPal, all these, you know.
Well, no,
card.
They knew it was going to, they would, I don't know if he probably would do the Venmo thing. I don't know.
He might, but you know, the thing with Carmen though was he was always listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit. He always really wanted, his number one priority at every show was to lead people to the Lord. Like that was his big thing. And so he believed that if he could let people come into the show for free because all they were doing was they were there to hear the gospel. Every one of his shows was a Christian song. It wasn't like one of these crossover artists. So since he was, people were coming in to hear the gospel, he couldn't foresee a world where he would, you know what I mean, charge people to come in and listen to Jesus, you know? So that was why he didn't want to be a business.
He wanted to be a mission. And it was bigger because of that.
Yeah. Dude.
And you just made me think, you know, I'm not here to lead people to Christ. I'm here to heal people so that they can be led to Christ.
Mm.
So they can have a better time here, more fully aware of love,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is truly the only thing you can take with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is love.
Right.
So that they can love and they can laugh. And this was given to me a couple of weeks ago. Live, laugh, love. That's it.
Wow.
That's what we're here for.
Well, you're a bridge to get people from, to help people to.
Yeah, to open people's hearts and open people's minds up to the possibility of ...
Yeah.
So that someone else can come in and fill in that gap.
Right.
Finish that sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do it through tears, I do it through laughter, and I do it because I can't help it. I cannot not be who I am.
Yeah.
And I've never been. So when Alicia passed away, this album was given to me like, you've got to do this.
Really?
Here's the chicken salad.
Yeah.
From what just happened yesterday. Oh, it was right away. And she was writing a book called In the Driver's Seat, which is incredibly important to anyone who's been diagnosed with cancer or
really
diabetes, anything. You've got to be in charge of your diagnosis. You can't just say, okay, and give it to the medical industry, because it's an industry. You know, as wonderful as your oncologist or your doctor is, they have a lot of patients, thousands of patients. You have one.
Mm.
You need to take care of that one patient as best as you can. And it may not always work out the way that you were planning,
mm-hmm.
but while you are doing it, it's much better to be the dog than the tail.
Mm.
And Christians are not born. God did not create us, any of us, to be the tail and not the dog. You know, we are supposed to take charge of what we've been trusted with. That song, Why Did You Leave Me Here? The last time you hear the chorus, it says, I can't find a reason. No, there has to be a reason why you trust me so much. Lord, why did you leave me here? You know, show me. So this book, In the Driver's Seat, will help you not be scared because you've given give your soul to God. Give your life to Jesus. Don't give it to some oncologist somewhere. And there's nothing wrong with oncology and nothing wrong with the oncologist, but still, you've got to have your priorities straightened out and you've got to be in charge. Mm. That's what In the Driver's Seat is about. So when Alicia passed away, the other thing that came to me clear as a bell was, you have got to finish this book. You and Jessica, her daughter, my stepdaughter, soon to give us a grandchild, you have got to finish this book because there are picture I get. I'm a very visual guy. The picture I got was, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people whose lives Alicia touched when she was here who are alive because of that chance meeting.
Hmm.
And because Alicia took the time to give them advice that is contained within the pages of these book.
Wow.
Yeah, within the pages of this book. So it's important.
Mm-hmm.
And it will help people. It will strengthen them.
You have this album and then you have this book. Are they coming out at the same time?
The same day.
Oh, the same day. So it really seems like a companion. Like it's the perfect duo in a way.
Yeah. And there's moonshine.
Right. Is that coming out on the same time?
And by golly, it was
same day as well.
But hang on. No, not right now.
Hold on.
Not right now. Oh, don't hit that guitar.
So, and to clarify, so she was writing the book during her battle with cancer.
Yes, after she had won. We won the first time.
Okay.
And had she finished it then, or did...
No, she was working on it, and we were doing something I think we should not have done because it led to her back being broken. We were racing dirt track. So yeah, but you know, live life,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So
yeah,
we were just going for it and having a ball. And she had an accident and cancer. Now, you know, I know this much more now than I knew then. But cancer is opportunistic, and when she had these two severe back breaks, that enabled cancer to find a blood source, which meant it metastasized the bone.
Oh man! And, wow.
You know,
I
know things I don't want to know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the things that I know are in the book. The things that I know are in me, and I don't have a problem talking to people about them. Yeah. You need to know them. First thing I tell anybody who's beaten cancer, who has, as Alicia would say, made the cancer dog sit.
Mm.
Now you have to make it stay. Spend the rest of your life making it stay. Don't turn your back on it.
Yeah.
And for God's sake, don't take up a hobby that could break your back.
Yeah.
We should not have done that. And she writes that in the book. She said, you know, I think if I had it all to do over again, I would not, you know, my promise to God is that I will never drive another race car. Nothing wrong with driving race cars, but you shouldn't take up rock climbing. You shouldn't take up things that could, you know, there are very few golf fatalities. So golf is a good sport.
Love golf.
Yeah.
To take up after you've made the cancer dog
Just ask
sit.
Jimmy Bowen, man.
I know.
He knows.
Right. So In the Driver's Seat,
yep.
Great book.
Yeah.
We're Still Us.
Yeah,
wonderful music. You will not find any more heartfelt music anywhere ever.
What's the date that they come out?
I call it Orange Friday, which is the Friday after Thanksgiving in honor of the General Lee.
Oh yeah.
How many
orange cars matter?
Yeah.
How many songs are on the album?
10. 10, and one of them is a wonderful old song that was Alicia's old boss, Robert Emmons. Produced a movie called The Great Gatsby, the one with Redford, not the latest one. And
okay.
There's a song on there called What'll I Do? And I did that with a dear friend here, Larry Hall. So I didn't write that one. And there's one other song on there I didn't write, but it was one of Alicia's favorites that we had done on the Odyssey Project. Long story there, we released a single every Tuesday for a year.
Okay.
But there was a song that she kept pulling off of the album. She was going to wait and put it on another album some other time, and she never did. So that song is called Heaven's Back Door. You never know who's sneaking in through Heaven's Back Door.
Wow.
And
wow.
So Jacob Leita wrote that song. The rest of them I wrote with great, great friends in Nashville.
Yeah.
And they're terrific. And when you sit there and you speak your truth so raw in a room with people who are, you know, multi-platinum songwriters, they are that for a reason. They're great at it.
Hmm.
So these songs are it's the best thing I've ever had anything to do with. Cody McCarver, my dear friend from Confederate Railroad, he produced it. Sean from, I'm sorry. Sawyer Brown, Sean
yeah.
from Sawyer Brown,
yeah.
Incredible guitar player, incredible engineer. So he had a whole lot to do with it, and it's the best music I've ever had anything to do with. I think it's my 27th album.
Wow, that's amazing.
So it might be 26, but you know when you get way up in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's the best thing. It's the best thing I've ever had anything to do with, and yeah. I dare say that's the same thing I got from all the writers.
Yeah.
And anybody who's heard it, they're like, wow, this is special.
What do you look for? I know we kind of we're coming to the end here, but so I'll just say johnschneiderstudios.com, right? Is where
johnschneiderstudios.com, or yeah. I have an app.
We'll have a graphic
it's called
there.
John Schneider. It's a free app. It'll work on your iPhone or your Android.
Download the John Schneider app.
Yeah.
Easy to find, probably.
Easy to find. It'll work on your laptop, too.
Also, I got to tell you, I have to ask you this question first of all. Did you know Michael Landon? Did you ever meet him? Did you know him?
I don't know how I never met Michael, but I met Junior because he directed.
Right.
Wrote
the
directed
father
that
I
movie.
Knew. Yeah.
But I knew a lot of people that knew Michael.
Is it okay that we talk about this?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Dude, I'm a big Michael Landon fan. Massive. I didn't have a father growing up. The whole story. Like that was Charles Ingalls was a big deal to me, right?
Ingalls.
And even wrote to Michael Landon Jr. later on in my life, and he responded back with a full, like, handwritten letter. It was beautiful. So when this movie came out, I was like floored at how much you looked and acted like Michael Landon, like you moved like him and everything like that. Did you have to study his movements and his real life stuff?
From the different times, yeah. From Bonanza, you know, because he was young. He was a young buck in Bonanza and then moved on from there to Little House on the Prairie. Then he moved on to Highway to Heaven.
Right.
So he was different as he went through all those different periods, and we had to depict all of them. Luckily, I could ask Michael Jr., you know, for some tips about what to do. But I did. Yeah. I watched those, but I was a big fan, too.
You were.
That's why I don't understand why we never met, because they were doing Little House on the Prairie while we were doing I was on their set one time, and Michael wasn't there. And I met, I think, Melissa Gilbert when she was little bitty.
Yeah.
But I love that movie. I'm very proud of that. Wasn't crazy about the hair. And
really?
In fact, well, we called it Michael Jr. said that it's time to wear the Ponderosa poodle.
Yeah.
We had the Ponderosa poodle, the prairie poodle, and the prayer poodle.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
three different wigs.
Did they have you in mind for that role?
Like, they did, but I didn't. I said that was really? Les Moonves was president of CBS at that point, and he said, "No, I want you to do that." I said, "Look, I'm 6'3", 6'4" at that time, probably." And I said, "Michael, from what I think Michael was 5'8", 5'7", you know." And he said, no, I want you to do it. You have the right sensibility to do this. So I was very honored to do it, but I would not have been my first choice.
Really? No kidding.
Yep. Yep. I don't know who would be, but probably Michael Jr.
Yeah.
My first choice. But I loved it. It's come back around a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I thought about it a lot as I played a man who was dying of pancreatic cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about it a lot as Alicia got sick.
Oh yeah. So right.
What
do you look for in a project when somebody brings you a movie, a role in something for you
truth,
to say yes?
Emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And something that moves me. It should be a visceral experience. Shouldn't just be, you know, and there's a time to do so. I just did a wonderful little movie called I play a sheriff whose son is just a mess, and I get him a job in the local sanitation department. And he finds a bunch of toys that some bad guys threw out, and he gives them to the kids. But because he works in the sanitation department, they call him Jingle Smells.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So that's the name of the movie, Jingle Smells. And not a lot of there's a bunch of heart in it, but I wouldn't say there's no deep and dark stuff in it. It's wonderful, so much that I went ahead and made a deal with them to distribute the DVD through John Schneider Studios. So guess what? There's a movie that's coming out on Orange Friday as well that you can get at johnschneiderstudios.com called Jingle Smells.
Okay.
And if you want to stream it or download it, just look up Jingle Smells, and that's the other ones. They didn't want to bite off. They hadn't done the DVD yet, and I've done it a bunch of times now, so it's not a big problem for me.
So movie, book, album.
Movie, book, album, moonshine.
Moonshine.
Movie, yeah. Book, album. Well, moonshine. And you know, and all of that is a testimony again to how God is paying attention. And yeah, I think God's in my moonshine.
That's what I was about to ask. What's like the?
I've never understood
why moonshine. I was gonna say.
It's because of the Dukes. You're gonna have to watch Dukes to understand that. But
yeah,
but,
We'll watch it later. We'll watch it later.
Oh, thank you.
You know, this is the town.
There you go.
I love it.
Apple moonshine. Wow.
Apple shine.
Moonshine.
Hey, that's great.
This is Johnny's guitar, and I thought if you wanted to strum one of those, it's such a moving story about the songs.
What, that's Johnny's guitar?
It's Johnny's guitar, and he signed it and gave it to a Japanese guy. But
I could have, even Dee Dee could have put together a book, an album, a moonshine, and a movie, all to be released on the same day.
Yeah.
There's no way.
That's right.
So
wild.
So God is in that without question. Without question.
Yeah.
Because none of us are that smart. None of us are that effective. None of us are that efficient. None of us are that creative.
Yeah.
That has to be God.
Yeah.
That's, again, turning, that's the chicken salad in the story.
Chicken poop to the chicken salad.
Yes.
Let's go.
Dude, thank you so much, man.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. And thanks for your boldness about the Lord and stuff like that, too. It's awesome. Encouraging
well,
to so many people.
By golly,
so
I can't
you.
Help it. And
I know.
You shouldn't be able to help it, right?
Exactly, yeah.
You don't believe in something enough to be able to say it publicly. And this goes for your politics, too. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Then you probably don't believe it.
Yeah.
And I don't mean you should go out and beat people over the head with it, because I tell people from stage, look, you know, obviously you know where I stand.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I just want you to go vote. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. Mm-hmm. I'd like to think you're going to vote in this way. I'd like to think you're going to vote for America and for what America stands for. But you don't have to, because that's what America stands for.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's true.
So God bless you.
God bless you, too.
God
thanks,
bless
John.
You, John. And I'll see you, you know where.
Bye. Yep.
Look, there's June.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you, too, man.
We all like to thank you, folks, for kindly dropping in.
Kiss my cat.